You better look very hard on who you're stepping to, because you might get killed or shot, and it's not worth it. Africans need to be loving each other, and you're not.
Hi, everybody. We're back on Voices from the Frontline, the 4 o'clock public affairs show, KPFK, 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. And we're on the phone, Manuel and I are on the phone with Maya Rockymore, Dr. Rockymore, who's working, she's just written an article called Bamboozled, Destruction of Social Security Would Harm Black Communities. And I believe that you're doing this partly as a foundation that works with the Congressional Black Caucus. Is that correct?
Well, we are a nonpartisan organization. However, we do analyze public policies as they pertain to primarily African-American communities. And we have done independent research on Social Security and have come up with information about how it impacts blacks and for low-income populations and others.
Well, I'm glad you're on because, you know, for years I've been knowing that the privatization of Social Security was going to be a disaster. But for some reason, it was one of those many, many horrible things that you thought might not come for a while. You thought that Bush, you know, wouldn't have the guts to do it. But now as it's being pushed on the front burner, why don't you walk us through first just what does the partial privatization look like before you do your excellent commentary, which we've read. Just break it down for people. What would change if Bush gets his way?
Sure. Partial privatization is the carving away of funds from the Social Security Trust Fund, from the Social Security program, to create individual, private individual accounts that can be managed by individuals and invested on Wall Street in the stock market. And the problem or the rationale behind it is that they argue that younger people can, you know, invest in their accounts and they can own these accounts and they can build up wealth and, you know, all will be fine and dandy and their retirement will reflect that wealth and they'll live happily ever after. However, there are major holes in this argument. Not first among them is the fact that they also claim that creating these individual accounts will secure Social Security's long-term solvency problem. It does not do that. In fact, it blows a hole in Social Security in our budget deficit and creates years of instability for individuals, and there's no telling whether or not people will ever see a return on their investment.
Well, I mean, one of the things that, you know, it's been documented, what's the guy from Brooklyn, Gerald, congressman, he did a thing about how the Social Security is one of the best managed funds.
Yeah.
And, you know, this
Jerry Nadler. Yeah.
And one of the things that they pointed out is that the Republicans have just a hatred of any form of public welfare programs. And, but it's still amazing, given the popularity of Social Security now, that they've been able to run two things simultaneously.
Go ahead.
One is the myth of the so-called shortfall, which should be obvious. Then you just spend some money and fill the hole. And secondly, the myth that somehow speculating, because that's what it is with your own money in the private market, is to do anything but bankrupt poor folks.
First, let me point out that Social Security is not welfare. Many people get it confused and think Social Security is SSI. It's not. It's Social Security is social insurance, which means that people pay into it to get the benefits on the back end. When you look at your payroll check, your pay stub, and you see that FICA taxes were withdrawn, you're paying for your Social Security benefits, the right to draw down Social Security retirement, Social Security survivor, and disability benefits. Social Security, by the way, is not just retirement. It's also disability and survivor benefits. But in terms of the whole notion of, privatization and the Social Security, long-term Social Security solvency issue, the deal is that unlike what privatizers are arguing, Social Security is not irretrievably broken. We're looking at an 20 cent on the dollar shortfall in the year 2052 in terms of how much benefits we can pay out. The crisis is thus, in the year 2052, we will only be able to pay 80 cents on every dollar of promised benefits. That's not a shortfall. If President Bush would have had the political will, he could have more than covered that hole, that small hole in the Social Security program, instead of giving away tax cuts and all of the Treasury money to the wealthiest 1% of America. And so if President Bush, he can still save himself. If he chooses not to make the tax cuts permanent, which he has threatened, those monies can also be applied to closing the long-term solvency gap in the Social Security program. But it's not a crisis as they portray. They want to portray it as a crisis so that they can come in through the back door and create these individual retirement accounts, which, as you so accurately point out, are not a panacea. In fact, they may be a formula for disaster, because we know that the stock market has traditionally fluctuated, and that just as there are balloons, highs, there are staggering lows and crashes. And so to the extent that Social Security provides a stable monthly benefit for retirees, it provides a stable check for those who have been disabled in the peak of their work life. It provides a steady check for the children of workers who have died and left dependents behind. To throw that money into the stock market reduces the benefits for all these populations, and then there is no question of whether or not there will be a return on that dollar. And so there's too much risk involved. It makes no sense. Those who say it makes sense are trying to pull a hoax, a fast one, on the American people.
We're talking to Dr. Maya Rockymore, who is currently the Vice President of Research and Programs at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. Dr. Rockymore, in your latest dispatch that you wrote, Bamboozle, the Destruction of Social Security Will Harm Black Community, can you talk to us about what are the instances, the specific instances on how this would, the privatizing of Social Security would impact the African-American community?
Sure. In order to understand that, you've got to understand how the system works for black folks, for black communities. Because of historical discrimination, I don't need to tell you, we came here slaves, which means that we entered the labor market at a disadvantage in this country. And we've been working to try to overcome that disadvantage for over a century now. Unfortunately, the data bears out that African Americans are still discriminated in the labor market. We are less likely to have jobs that bring with them pensions. So that means that we are less likely to have pension assets upon retirement. And because we're predominantly low working and middle class, lower middle class, we're also less likely to have the type of income that will allow us to purchase homes that bring in, equity income upon retirement. And that means that we don't have the private savings built up because of all of these factors. To add insult to injury, we don't disproportionately, because of our lack of a quality education and discrimination in the labor market, we're less likely to get those jobs that carry with them employer-based health insurance, which is the primary way that people access health care in this country. So all of these factors create this phenomenon. Black people have less wealth than white people, and black people are sicker than white people. That means that they become disabled at earlier ages, and they die younger. Okay, so how does this factor into Social Security? Well, because African Americans don't traditionally have pensions, Social Security becomes even more important. A stable benefit that is there for them becomes even more important. In fact, 40% of African American seniors are reliant solely on Social Security's retirement benefits. Yes, it's a sad state of affairs, but that's not Social Security's problem, as the privatizers are claiming. It's the fact that they've been discriminated against in the labor market. Now, at the same time, because we tend to die younger, and because we have higher disability rates, that means that Social Security's survivor benefits and disability benefits become even more important. So when you look at the retirement benefits, the disability and survivor benefits as a whole, Social Security is a very, very important program for black families, especially black children who are disproportionately reliant on these survivor benefits once their father or their mother has passed away. And so Social Security is very important. Now, why does privatization threaten African American families? Well, in several respects. Firstly, privatization takes away the progressive aspects of the Social Security program, meaning that it's not a progressive system where it replaces the larger percentage of your pre-retirement earnings upon retirement. That means that whatever you put into your individual account, if the market is doing well, whatever you put into the individual account is what you get plus or minus the earnings that you make while that money is in that account. Now, we know that African Americans are twice as likely to be unemployed as white Americans. So that means that African Americans will have more years of zero earnings, more years when they are putting nothing into these individual accounts, which means that nothing, no, if it's a healthy market, no interest is being accrued that will benefit them. So they're more likely to retire with less adequate in retirement resources because of the way that the system, they're trying to set up the system. Now, this is also important because Social Security privatization, these individual accounts, carve away money from the Social Security Trust Fund, they cut benefits. They cut benefits across the board from Social Security. They cut the benefits for the seniors who are relying on that check. So that means that the African-American seniors whose sole reliance is on that check, well, their check will be cut even further. They take money away from the survivor and disability benefits that's so important for African-American families. That reduces those benefits, and they have no way to replace it. And so it becomes imperative that African-Americans realize that there are pitfalls and dangers lurking in privatization proposals.
Well, you're an excellent spokesperson, clear as a bell. I mean, the question, let's just, since we're on the same side, just a couple, one observation and then a question about where do we go from here. Having been somebody who, you know, had enough money to have a little bit of tiny money in the stock market over the last 8 to 10 years, I've seen firsthand the insanity of the U.S. stock market system. I mean, first of all, you know, when they talk about stocks get this percentage, there's 400 different studies that indicate, well, it depends on where you enter the market. You can enter the market at and go through a 14-year bust for the market. Secondly, where are these firms going to be monitored by? Elliot Spitzer is making a cottage industry of turning up crook after crook after crook in the enforcement of this. A lot of these funds have 1, 2, and 5% loads. I'm picturing black people manipulated by not just black people, but low-income peoples, Latinos, you know, most people. I mean, a lot of middle-class white folks lost their whole savings through unscrupulous
right.
dealers. So this is going to be, they're going to call it the Smith-Barney, Merrill Lynch, you know, broker's bill. And so between the vagaries of the market, the inability, as you say, for years to put money in, the incredible cost, these, you know, of running this program that are going to take, if people are going to get 4 or 5% return, and one of the values of Social Security is it's comparable to a, what do you call it, like a defined benefit plan. You
yep.
know that the, when you retire, they send you this thing in the mail. When you retire, this is how much money you're getting
right.
per month for the rest of your life. The market tells you good luck.
That's right. Each man and woman for her or himself.
Social Darwinism, here we go.
And you point out something that's very, you talk about it depends on when you get in the market. Well, imagine, it also depends on when you get out of the market. And imagine
that's
all
right.
of those folks who took a beating in 2000, 2001 with the bust of the dot-com and whatnot. Imagine if you were retiring at that time and you were depending upon your retirement income in order to tide you over through your senior years. The fact that many people who had a lot of money vested in the stock market had to keep on working is telling. I think that you point out something very interesting about the money managers on Wall Street. It costs Social Security currently is less than 1%. In fact, it's 0.05% administrative cost, or 0.05% of Social Security's program. It costs less than 1% to run Social Security. Now, individual accounts, on the other hand, will cost anywhere from 10 to 20% in terms of administrative costs. These are the administrative fees that will be charged by the money managers on Wall Street to manage all of these individual accounts.
That's right.
Make the changes, you know, if you want to change your stock allocation or whatever, they're charging you every time. So Merrill Lynch and the Citigroups and everybody else on Wall Street who would benefit from this would make out like bandits.
Well, speaking of bandits, now what are we going to do? I mean, the question is, if there ever was an issue that is so clear-cut that could potentially build a multiracial, multi-class coalition, what is the level of resistance like right now? And just as an individual commentator, since we think the Democratic Party takes a dive too often
and
gives the Republican Party, you know, half the game before they even play, what's the status in Washington? What forces are organized? Where is the Congressional Black Caucus lined up on this? And we, and for listeners who would like to start jumping on this issue like yesterday, what would you suggest they do? What's the action plan?
Yeah. The Congressional Black Caucus, as you can imagine, is against privatization.
Right.
They have weighed the pros and the cons, and they understand what this means for our communities. In terms, I can say that the action so far inside the Beltway is people are mobilizing. The Congressional Black Caucus Foundation in mid-January will be hosting an event to focus on Social Security and privatization and what this means. And we're calling on a multicultural, not only multicultural, but also gender, because women have a lot to lose in this equation as well. To join us in this event, to highlight the issues and to lay out, so the where do we go from here thing. Now, so we have a little bit of movement inside the Beltway that will be heating up, in January. But what we really need is people to rise up. Your listeners need to rise up. If the time is ever, as you say, it is now. And so call your member of Congress, whether that person is a Republican or a Democrat. In fact, find a Republican to call because they need to hear from the American populace on this. If you want to know what the switchboard to the U.S. Congress is, it's 202-225-3121. Call it and ask for your member of Congress and let them know what you think on this issue. Write to your member of Congress and let them know what you think. Write to the White House and let them know what you think. This is time for, if any time is now, for the American people to stand up and say, we will not go back to the time when old people were on the street with no way to support themselves except begging for alms.
Is the, as we transition to the next guest, and we're going to want you back on the show because this is really excellent, Maya. Is this event in January public? Is it in D.C.? Well, just briefly, what's that about? We're going to move to
it. It is in, it's in D.C., and what we're trying to do is coalesce women's groups, Hispanic Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, progressives, coalitions who are focused on human needs and low-income populations to come together to specify what this will mean for our communities and what we can do to fight the threat.
Where would it be?
And I would like for, any of your callers, I would like for you to pay attention to our website because more information will be up on it in the coming weeks. It's www.cbcfinc.org, or you can call 202-263-2800 and ask for Ms. Antoinette Dixon.
Great. And give us a slow down on the website a little bit because we want to repeat it.
Sure.
www.cbc, Congressional Black Caucus.
F as in foundation.
Right.
INC as in incorporated.
Got it.
.org.
Got it. Maya Rockymore, excellent report. It's very nice working with you. We're going to try to, when is the date of the January meeting and we'll let you go?
We're looking at the 19th of January, which is the day before inauguration.
Okay. Who's getting inaugurated on the 20th, by the way?
Named George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah, he did win. Okay, so we got to get serious then.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. The pleasure's mine.
So you listen to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. My name is Manuel Criollo. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines. Up next, we will have Nick Unger, who will talk to us about the recent decision by the New York MTA to raise fares. He's going to talk to us the impact on the transit riders and transit workers, so stay tuned.
And hang around at 5 o'clock.